Blessings of the Christian Home, and Garland Elkins is leading us in this study.
I am to speak on blessings of the home, and there are so many of them that I cannot touch all that about which I can think, neither could you, I'm sure. But in the ideal home, there is a father who is faithful unto God. Maybe I should go back to the very beginning of the home. We've had references to it already, but you remember in Genesis 1, 18 through 24, and God said, "It is not good that the man shall be alone. I will make him an help meet or suitable for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But it says it again, "But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now this is the beginning. And Jesus quoted this in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. And among other things, he said it was the beginning. And in Mark 10, in that account, Mark says, "In the beginning of the creation." But there must be the right kind of father for the home to be ideal. When the Lord and two angels came to Abram and announced to him that Sodom was going and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed, the Lord decided he would tell Abraham. And he said, Genesis 18, 19, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the law of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that I may bring upon Abraham that which I have spoken of him." The father is a vital, essential in the right kind of a home. In the book of Jeremiah, there is an incident that's unusual, maybe seems to be strange to some. But the prophet Jeremiah went to the house of the Rechabites and brought them into the temple and tried to get them to drink wine. In Jeremiah 35, 5 and 6, "And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever." Don't we need fathers like that today? But in the home, there must be a wife. And the ideal wife and mother is described in Proverbs 31. In 31, 10 through 12, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." I freely confess, and I have an idea almost every gospel preacher here would say the same, my wife has meant more than I could ever describe, and has quietly done her part, often done it better than I have done mine. A godly wife, whether for a gospel preacher or any other man, is a great, great blessing. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. We used to have friends and relatives who the wife's name was Ruby. And I told her in the presence of her husband, if you die and he marries again, he may say to the second wife, your price is far above rubies. But that wasn't what that passage is talking about, of course. In the home, in the ideal home, there must be obedient children. Obedient to God, obedient to their parents. In that same chapter, it is said in Proverbs 35:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. What a great and ideal mother this is. Then in the next few verses, we have something about the children. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. She was a wonderful woman, the wife of a man who recognized that, and of children who appreciated her. And so many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now this is an ideal home that I've described, but we are human. We are not perfect. But we should strive to be perfect. Brother L.L. Briggins, who was a great gospel preacher and died the year that Brother Taylor, Robert Taylor and I entered school, died the first quarter. One day, and he within himself, in his own rights, as I say, was a great man. But in class one day, Brother N.B. Hardiman's name came up. And Brother Briggins said, he is not perfect. But he said, where he has one fault, I have 40. So it is possible for us to attain a great height of spiritual dedication. And that's what we should try to do. But in the home, there is the blessing of relationships. Now you think about in your own home, if you've had a happy home especially, of your first remembrances of how your father and mother were tender with you and loved you, and the relationship that you had with your siblings. The husband is to love the wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, Ephesians 5:23. In Ephesians 5:28, even so also ought the husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. And wives are to be subject to their husbands, Ephesians 5:22. And Ephesians 5:33, they are to reverence their husbands. Husband is to love the wife. The wife is to reverence her husband. Children are to obey their parents. Ephesians 6:1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We have a friend whose wife died years ago, but they had four or five children. And he said when he was growing up, he grew up in Florida, his mother, he would tell him to do something, he would not want to know why. And she would say, because I said so. And he said he resolved that when he was married and he and his wife had children, he would give a better reason to his children when they asked him that question. So he said, now they ask me when I tell them to do something, why? And he said, I give them the best reason in the world, because I said so. You cannot improve on some things Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, in the home, and by the way, we want some things that are not good for us sometimes. I heard of a family who were very affluent. They had a lady that kept the children, kept the little boy Johnny. And one day, Johnny was crying, and the mother heard it, and she came rushing out and said to the maid, "Anytime Johnny wants anything, in fact, what Johnny wants, Johnny gets." So the next day she heard Johnny crying like he was dying. And she rushed out there again and said, "Didn't I tell you what Johnny wants, Johnny gets?" She said, "Yes, ma'am, and he wanted a hornet's nest, and I let him have it." There may be some things we think we want until we get them, and that's not what we need. You know, in the home, there should be great love. There's all kinds, 1 John 5:19 does say, the whole world lieth in wickedness or in darkness. But the home should be a haven. When we can express our love one for another, when we can encourage one another. You know, I mentioned the mother a little while ago and some things the Bible says about her. The poets have said a lot about mothers. If I were hanged on the highest hill, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose love would follow me still, mother of mine, oh mother of mine. If I were damned to body and soul, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose prayers would make me whole, mother of mine, oh mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose love would come down to me, mother of mine, oh mother of mine. There should be the kind of love in the family that would be an example for people in the world and to all people. The home is a place where we need, one of the blessings of the home is a place where we need to learn how to rejoice and to be happy. I know Paul wrote the passage I'm about to mention to a congregation, but it certainly would apply to an individual and to a home. And there are three major points in this passage, Philippians 4:4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice." Now, notice, first of all, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a command. After Paul and Silas had been severely beaten, had been put into the inner prison, their feet made fast in the stocks, the Bible says in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I know I would have been praying. I don't know whether I could have been singing or not, but they did. Here's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Number two, there is a perpetual command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, Solomon said there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, and we know that. But there's an attitude of happiness for the Christian. It is a command to rejoice. It is a perpetual command. It is a repeated command. He said, again, I will say. Again, I would say, rejoice. My father and mother loved each other. They didn't say a lot about it, but I could see it. I grew up on a farm, and my father led the singing for 50 years. My mother sang alto. And so, on rainy days, when we could not go out and work, we did a lot of singing. I'm not a good singer, but my father and mother were talented along that line. You know, in those days, the family was the center of activity. Maggie Colley and I are first cousins. Our mothers were sisters. You know, we lived probably only 4 or 5 miles apart, and yet we sometimes would visit each other, the families would, for a weekend. And you know, I still remember a lot of that. It was wonderful to get together with cousins. She had brothers, and I did. And we enjoyed that. In the home, the blessing of the home should be to learn forbearance. Philippians 4:5, Paul said, "Let your forbearance," the King James, I'm reading from the American Standard, the King James says, "Let your moderation, let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." You know, in the home, we have to learn if it's the kind of home it should be. The home as God would have it, we have to learn to bear and to forbear. Forbearance. I heard of a little boy and with his sister that were standing on a street corner, and the little girl was crying. And a man drove up and stopped, and he said, "Son, why is your little sister crying?" He said, "She's crying because she wants my ice cream cone. But don't mind her, mister. She cried when I ate hers too." I heard of a couple that celebrated their 50th anniversary. And I heard Paul Harvest say that he thinks the time is coming when celebrating the 75th one will be as common as it used to be to celebrate the 50th. But the couple celebrated their 50th and they were interviewed. And a reporter asked them, What's caused you to have such a happy home? And they said that we have two or three bears in our marriage. One is to bear one another's burdens. The other is to forbear one another. They named another or two. We need to learn forbearance. And we should teach in the home the Lord is always at hand. Hebrews 4:13. It is pointed out, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Solomon said, as recorded in Proverbs 15:3, "For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." We need in the home, and it's a blessing of the home, to have prayer. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," notice, "with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God." I cannot remember any time when my father did not offer thanks at the table, and often prayed at other times. I cannot remember the first time I ever went to service, because all of my life, as far as I can remember, I've been going. And one of the major reasons my brother and I became gospel preachers is our parents were not wealthy by any means, but they loved the truth. And they stood for the truth. I saw them stand for the truth when it was unpopular to stand for the truth. And by example and by their word of mouth teaching, they taught us to stand for the truth. Paul said in Philippians 1:12-14, "Now I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the progress of the gospel." He was in prison when he wrote this. "So that my bonds became manifest in Christ to the whole Praetorian," or palace guard, "to the whole Praetorian guard and to all the rest. And that most of the brethren," he didn't say all the brethren, probably never be a time when all the brethren will stand for the truth, "and that most of the brethren in the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God," in other words. But you know what happened in Paul doing that? They had guards that came ever so often. They thought they had a captive in Paul, and they did, but Paul thought he had a captive audience. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said, "I believed, and therefore did I speak." But you know what? When Paul concluded that great letter, he said in Philippians 4:20, "All the saints salute you, and especially they that are of Caesar's household." It seems to be implied that Paul started the church in Caesar's household, but whether he did or not, at least it was there. The Praetorian Guard saw and were impressed with Paul and his stand for the truth. In Romans 8:28, something else that we need to learn in the home, it's the blessing of the home, is to learn of the providence of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, one of my favorite passages along that line is in the case of Joseph. Down in Egypt, after his father had died, they'd taken him to Palestine to bury him. They came back to Egypt in Goshen. His brothers' consciences were still bothering them, and so they offered to come as slaves. And he, He wept and said, am I in the stead or place of God? It was not you that sent me hither, but God sent me hither to preserve life. But down in verse 20, Genesis 50:20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But notice, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Even though Paul was in prison, he preached the word, people obeyed the gospel, and the church was established. In the home, there is the blessing of seeing the providence of God as it is played out. I mentioned earlier, didn't use these words, but this is what I was talking about basically. In the home, we should have the peace of God. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard, that's a military term, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. A blessing of the home is to learn upon what to think. And Paul mentioned six of these. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If we'll teach our children and teach each other to think upon things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, then we'll follow what Paul said about himself, and he wasn't boasting. The Holy Spirit had him write this in the next verse, Philippians 4:9. Notice, it's going to mention four things. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We have the blessing in the home of learning to become content. Paul said in Philippians 4:11 and 12, not that I speak in respect of want. He was in jail when he wrote it. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, he didn't always know this, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know also how to abound. And everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. In the home, we have the blessing, or should have the blessing, of learning to be optimistic. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, concerning optimism, I can do all things in Him, or the King James says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brother W.A. Bradfield was one of the most optimistic men I ever knew. Many of you knew him. I heard him use this illustration. He said, describing a pessimist, that a man in Chicago was about to jump off the Chicago Bridge, and another man went out to talk him out of it, and they both jumped. He said, a pessimist makes you jump too. But he said, an optimist is like a man eating an apple, and if he bites into the apple and finds a part of the worm, the pessimist will throw it away, but the optimist will take that worm and have fish for dinner. Paul said he could do all things in Christ who strengthened him. And then in the home, we need to learn this. We need to learn to seek the good of other people. We can learn that in our family relationships. Philippians 4:7, not that I seek for the fruit, but he said, not that I seek for the gift, but I seek for the fruit that aboundeth to your account. You know, the only time this expression occurs in the Bible is Acts 20:35. Christ said it, but it isn't recorded anywhere else. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And then finally, though I've touched only the hem of the garment, what could be said? We need to learn that the Lord is able to supply our needs. Paul had been given gifts, things he needed, and he didn't have money to repay them. But he said, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches, notice where, in Christ Jesus, in glory.